Community Focus has been brought to you by the Crum Agency, providers of MIMIC Insurance. Their telephone number is 734-254-1976, and they are online at krummagency.com.
You're listening to the station focusing on the Plymouth-Canton community. This is Community Focus on 88.1 The Park.
Good evening and welcome to Community Focus. I'm Selva Mungla. On Community Focus, we talk to people of interest in our community. Our guest tonight is Matthew Stifler. Matthew Stifler is from the Arab American National Museum. Hi, Matthew.
Hello, thanks for having me.
So my first question is, what are the Arab countries? Because I remember I went to the museum one time and I didn't know there were so many other Arab countries. Except for Saudi Arabia and stuff.
There are actually 22 different Arab countries on two different continents. The bulk of the landmass of Arab countries is actually in North Africa, and the rest is in Western Asia. So what we typically think of the Middle East is not exactly all of the Arab countries. Some people ask, you know, how come Iran or Afghanistan or Turkey aren't Arab countries because they're in the Middle East? And we say, well, an Arab country has to be a country where the main language is Arabic. And so that's any number of the 22 countries. Some of the main ones are Iraq, Egypt, Morocco, Jordan, Lebanon, Palestine, Syria, Saudi Arabia, Libya, Algeria, and there's a handful of others.
Wow. You have the American Museum, like, here in Dearborn. So what's your significance in, like, Southeast Michigan and Michigan and, like, even the United States?
We are a national museum, but we're heavily rooted here in the Southeast Michigan community. We were founded by a human services organization in Dearborn called Access that started in 1971 as a group of volunteers to serve the Arab immigrant population. The museum opened in 2005, and the reason we're in Michigan, we get asked that a lot, is, well, there is a large, diverse population of Arab Americans here. In the Metro Detroit region, there's probably 300,000 to 400,000 people of Arab ancestry living here, which is one of the highest numbers anywhere in the country. The city of Dearborn, though, has about 50,000 Arab Americans living in it, which is about half of the total population of that city, which makes it the highest concentrated Arab population anywhere in the country.
Speaking of the concentration, lots of people, I think, assume that every Arab person follows Islam or something like that. Is that the only faith that majority of Arab people follow, or is it spread?
Nationwide, the Arab American population is about 50% Muslim and about 50% Christian, with smaller numbers of Arab Jews. And there are also a lot of Arabs who don't identify with any religion. They happen to be secular. But in the city of Dearborn, the majority of the Arabs that live there are Muslim.
Okay.
But, you know, in metropolitan Detroit, there are actually a large number of Christians who live in the suburbs of, like, Livonia, Northville, Bloomfield, Southfield.
Speaking of, like, religion and stuff, there are lots of stereotypes, like, especially in the news, that every Muslim person is bad or every Arab person, you know, is bad. How do you, like, defend the Arab and Muslim people?
We spend a lot of our time at the museum doing educational outreach, particularly around combating Hollywood stereotypes. We have an online exhibit called ArabStereotypes.org, and on this website you can view different videos and hear professors from all over the country talking about how Arabs and Muslims have been stereotyped in Hollywood, and we offer ways to combat that by offering an accurate portrayal of Arab American history and experience.
And you're saying that those stereotypes are wrong. So, like, how have Arabs contributed to our society, like, impacts that they've made?
Arab Americans, like any immigrant or ethnic group, are extremely diverse and have a wide range of people, from students to professionals to laborers. But some of the more famous Arab Americans are people that have made an impact on Hollywood. There are some directors, some producers, but some of the on-screen talent that you might recognize is people like Tony Shalhoub, who was very famous for his role in Monk, the sitcom. You might recognize from politics, Daryl Issa is a very prominent Republican. Helen Thomas is a native of Metro Detroit, was one of the most important female journalists of our time, the first female journalist allowed in the White House press corps in the 60s. So there's Arab Americans in every field that make an impact on science, on arts and culture.
You said that lady, Helen Thomas, she was working at the White House in the 60s. Like, how far back has there been, like, Arabs coming into the United States?
Great question. So a lot of people are surprised to know that the first wave of Arab immigrants started coming to the United States in the 1880s. My family, for instance, came from northern Lebanon in 1890 and settled in western Pennsylvania. So I'm a fourth generation Arab American. I'm only part Arab because by the fourth generation, people have intermarried with other groups. So that was what we call the first wave of immigrants. And that, you know, there were tens of thousands that came at that time. So it's a much older population than some people think.
Compared to now, how were they treated before during that time?
You know, when they came in the late 1800s, the early 1900s, it wasn't a lot of anti-Arab or anti-Muslim sentiment. It was mostly anti-immigrant sentiment. In the United States in the early 1900s, there was a lot of anti-immigrant sentiment, which actually led to the 1924 Immigration Act, which put very restrictive quotas on immigrants coming from any country that wasn't in Western Europe. And Arabs were caught up in that. So, for instance, in the 19-teens, you would have 6,000 to 8,000 Arabs immigrating to the United States every year. In the 1920s and 30s, it was down to a couple hundred because of the restrictive immigration quotas.
When the Arab people came here, what like did they bring? What makes them so unique compared to like other, you know, races?
So one thing they brought was the language. They brought the Arabic language with them. They were the first group of immigrants to the United States to speak the Arabic language. They also brought with them their food. They brought with them their religions, which, you know, Islam wasn't completely new to the United States. Actually, 10 to 15% of slaves that were brought from Africa as part of the Atlantic slave trade were Muslim. So Islam had a longer history here in the United States. But the Eastern Orthodox Christianity that the immigrants brought with them, they established the first Eastern Orthodox churches in New York and Boston in the 1890s. So they brought all kinds of new ideas with them, new forms of literature and poetry that hadn't been here before. You know, like all immigrant groups, they contributed their own touch on American culture.
You mentioned foods. What are some like foods and holidays and things like that that Arab people do?
Probably one of the most common is like hummus. Hummus is definitely the most common food you're going to find in the United States that Arabs brought. Also, you know, kibbeh is very common with the Lebanese, shish kebab, shawarma. These are things that are very common now, especially in Southeast Michigan. But even, you know, 15, 20 years ago, you couldn't go into Meijer and buy hummus.
Yeah.
I mean, it was very odd to find that in a grocery store. Now it's completely popular. So it's becoming, Arab food is becoming a lot more mainstream when it used to be seen as something a little bit more exotic or foreign. But especially in Michigan, it's everywhere.
How does the museum celebrate like the cultural contributes that the Arab people have brought in?
Great. So we have permanent exhibits that focus on the immigration stories of Arabs. They focus on how Arabs adapt to American culture today. But then also we have a gallery called Making an Impact that highlights Arab Americans that have made a positive impact on American culture through arts and sports and politics and activism. We also showcase a lot of Arab culture through the musical events that we host, through book readings. We have an annual National Book Award that we run that recognizes Arab and Arab American writers. So we really try to show the breadth and depth of Arab American culture.
Going back to like what Arab people have contributed, a while back I read that they've contributed stuff for math and science. What are some of like those specific things?
So yeah, Arab civilization is often misrepresented in American textbooks. And really people see Arabs as being maybe backwards or inferior. Yeah. And they think of Europe when they think of the Renaissance and all these great advancements. But Arabs were pioneers in math and science for centuries and actually taught the Europeans a lot of those things. Algebra is an Arabic word, for instance, just to give you an idea of how deep those roots are. So that's a great question, and it is something the museum doesn't necessarily focus on because we celebrate Arab American culture, but we do have some exhibits that look at the contributions of Arabs to world civilizations.
What makes Arab Americans different from, you know, Arabs from, you know, in Africa and like Saudi Arabia?
Arab Americans, you know, that's as their name says, you know, when they immigrate to the United States, they very quickly become American citizens. They very quickly serve their country, whether it's in the armed forces or through politics or volunteerism. So Arabs in the United States are just like other immigrant groups that they come here. Most come here because they're looking for economic opportunities. Unfortunately, many come here also because they're fleeing violence in their homeland. And so America ends up being a place for them to come and start fresh.
You know, like you just said, they're fleeing violence. What, you know, are you doing anything specifically for the stuff happening overseas?
So as a cultural institution that represents all the different viewpoints of the Arab American community, we don't do any specific political things. But what we do is we allow our community members to come and put on a fundraiser or put on an exhibit. Right now we have an exhibit about the worldwide response to a bombing of a very famous street in Baghdad called Al-Mutanabi Street, which is the historic street where people would sell books, and it was a very cultural, literary place, and it was bombed in the early 2000s. And worldwide artists made like representations of how they felt about that, and so we have that on display right now. And that was brought to us by, you know, an Arab-American group that wanted that story to be told. So we like to see ourselves as a place where even if we can't, you know, make political statements about what's happening in the world, our community can come and do that through us.
Lots of students and stuff, like you've just mentioned a lot of things that I didn't know. Like, what do you do? How do you participate with schools to bring awareness?
So we have schools that come through our doors almost every day during the school year. Some schools will bring 100, 150 students at a time. They come from everywhere. They come from Plymouth Canton. They come from Ann Arbor, Port Huron. They come from Ohio. Some people even come in from Indiana and Illinois. So we see a lot of students throughout the year. We also do educational presentations at schools, both for students and for teachers. So we educate the educators about how to broach these subjects in their classroom.
We've covered a lot. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
I would just, you know, put in a plug for the museum. It's our 10th anniversary year right now. So 2015 through 2016, we're celebrating our 10th anniversary. We have a lot of special programming on cue for that, some big exhibits that are coming. And so just, you know, go to our website, arabamericanmuseum.org, and check out all of the amazing events we have coming up.
Awesome. You've been listening to Community Focus. Our guest has been Matthew Stifler from the Arab American National Museum. Tune in next Wednesday at 5:45 for another Community Focus right here on 88.1 The Park.
Community Focus has been brought to you by the Crum Agency, providers of MIMIC Insurance. Their telephone number is 734-254-1976, and they are online at krummagency.com.